Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday. Proudly funded by CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. The ribbons cut on the new location along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with convenient drive-up services. Also, check him out online at caclfcu.org. Voted the number one lending institution in our area for the past 6 years. Why is that? Because you won't find a better...
Oh, fiduciary. Eddie always taps me on the head when he wants me to say stuff.
Fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Sports Saturday also brought to you by Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road in Pottsville. Full line of fruit drinks, milk products, the award-winning chocolate milk, and the raspberry tea. 'Cause summer's for sipping. Sip on Schuylkill County from Gears Dairy and BG's Value Markets, four convenient locations to serve you. Pine Grove, Minersville, Jonestown, Millersburg. Fresh irons of the grill, as the doctor says. Well, you got your freshest meat to go on there, and if their meat was any fresher...
You'd have to slap it.
Indeed. Well, John, I guess we might as well get to it. We're going to have Melissa Mertz, the Associate Executive Director of the PIAA, joining us around the bottom of the hour, right around 9:30 this morning. We're going to hear right from PIAA. I did have the opportunity to listen to yesterday's board meeting, and there are some intricacies to all of this. You know, the fall sports decision was 25-2. There were, or 25-5. There were 30 of the 32 members present to vote yesterday, and it came down. Yes, we approve. We feel appropriate to move forward with fall sports, depending on local school decisions.
And that's going to solve some problems. It's going to complicate some problems because everybody knows some schools have already opted out of playing in the fall. They've made that decision, and they're standing by it. Others are now placed in a position of, do we play? And then you get thrown that one curveball that can come at any time. I mean, the uncertainty of it, I think, is the toughest part, but there's already a football program in the area that's going to have to push back their starting date another week because of some quarantining, because of a positive test and so on. So it's one thing to say go ahead, but as you said, it throws it back to the districts to say, you have to make this decision.
Now, wait a second. There was a caveat then after that vote happened. There was a motion brought that hasn't been exactly widely publicized yet. The motion was that the PIAA would evaluate the opportunity for fall sports to occur in the springtime in the areas that choose not to participate in the fall.
And you're right. I saw that nowhere. I did not see that published.
It was
anywhere.
Brought forward by the District 12 representative, I believe, because the city of Philadelphia is elected to cancel fall sports because they're in a place where they don't feel their city is prepared to embrace this. That was approved unanimously, 30-0. That for the teams that can't, Dr. Lombardi was on with the media after the board meeting. And somebody brought that specifically to him, and he said they will try to see how to fit it in the springtime if you feel you're not ready to go now.
Interesting. I know Leroy wrote a wonderful article the other day in the Pottsville Republican, Republican Herald, concerning that. It's a thought. It really is a thought, and it's nice to see that they're looking at other ways to give kids an opportunity to play at a different time.
Correct. Now, what I will say is, and I've asked for this situation to be handed to the local school districts, basically because I felt nobody wanted to make a decision as to play or not. Everybody wants to pass liability off.
Absolutely.
And that's one of my questions this morning for Melissa is going to be, does this mean any liability-related issues now fall on the schools. I want to get that sentiment from the PIAA. I'm curious because, you know, the amazing piece to this whole thing, John, is I'm, you know, trying to twist this all through my head because I have to be in a position to make a decision and to either cast a vote or, you know, say, ominous, dominus, oopsie, ooh, here we go on Monday.
I can help you with that.
You know what I mean? And you could put people in a room, okay? And you could have a speaker talk to you about all the great reasons why we should play. And you could put somebody else right across the podium from there, debate style if you wanted to, and they can tell you all the reasons why we shouldn't do this. And you got to be able to understand that when you look at both of them, neither one is wrong. That's where the issues come in. Nobody's wrong in their stance or feelings about this. There's not a wrong position to be on. Now, I understand everybody wants to play in the Pittsburgh area. Allegheny County Health Department put out an edict for those in Allegheny County. Yes, we believe you can play football, but you may not have any fans in attendance. Right out from the Allegheny County Health Department. I don't know that we have a health department in Schuylkill County. If we do, they haven't said much to even know that they're there. But in Allegheny County, they do. And that's a much bigger county. But there are some schools who have put out, you can't come into the stadium. We agree we're going to go ahead. Fans are not allowed in the stadiums, but you can watch from the parking lot or the hillsides around the stadium.
I don't think anybody's immune because of that. And that's where it comes in, Chaz. And I agree with you 100% because I've spoken to people who are passionate about reopening. And they have their set of facts and data. And I've talked to other people who are just as passionate saying, no. A member of my family who worked for the CDC for 40-some years, he looked in, he lives in Texas now, he said, it should not open. Absolutely. And he has his set of facts and data and so on. So when you get in, and again, it's not a matter of right and wrong, I don't want to see them err and have kids get sick or parents of kids or whatever. I don't want to see that. I'd rather see them not play. That kills me to say it. But I will say this. I'm hoping the other people are right. I'm hoping they're right, that if they reopen, that our kids and their extended families are okay. I may not agree with it, but I absolutely, heart and soul, hope they're right.
Now, of course, Ed Benishunas finding a way to be on the show today. He texts me, says, no county health, local municipalities, and if they don't have one, it falls back to the state Department of Health. That's the way the setup is here. Thank you, doctor. I hope you enjoy your day at work today. When all of this is discussed, you know, and where is the middle? You know, how do you flush this out? And you know, you're given recommendations by people who now you're finding have done some unscrupulous things to allow certain things to occur with 20,000 people a day involved.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're telling our restaurant owners you can't have people in, but we'll allow 20,000 people at an outdoor event to look at
cars.
Antique cars.
Yeah.
Confidentially and then get caught. You know, and I just can't figure it out. I mean, you know, the liability end of it. You know, you have the liability of why college football, particularly the Big Ten, Pac-10, Pac-12, or whatever they are now. Why did they cancel? Why didn't the other three do it? You know, if people are worried about liabilities and billions of dollars in lawsuits if somebody should contract the side effect to this, the myocarditis, and heaven forbid they can't make it to the podium or they're not drafted and millions of dollars out the window, the colleges feel like they're on the hook for that. You know, and then you look at the other side of it, and you know, if you deny the opportunities for the availability to be found by colleges or professional ranks, do the athletes involved then have legal standing to come back and get you for that? So it's catch 22. You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. And boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, it's a lot rolling around in this rock of mine. That
sure, and this is something obviously novel. It's novel. It's brand new. So there are no precedents for dealing with this in, let's say, the modern world. Now, we could go back to the pandemic in 1918 and so on. That really shouldn't even come into play. It's a very different set of rules today, and that's the problem. There's no legal precedence either, Chaz, correct, so that either side would have an argument to come up and say, okay, here's what you did. You may have caused irreparable harm to a student athlete by taking away his opportunity for scholarship. Now, let's be honest. Schuylkill County doesn't have thousands of kids going to D1 schools on scholarships. But it could be the idea that that would be an argument. Let's go back to the other thing you said. Let's say some child develops these other things that are coming about because of COVID, and 2 or 3 years down the line, because of their exposure, all of a sudden have these things manifest themselves. How far does that liability go? And again, it is. It's being a lawyer at this time, I'm sure, even is very confusing, because there are no precedents in law that I know of dealing with mm-hmm. something like this. So every school district has a solicitor who's looking at this. And I've watched a couple of the Zoom meetings. The word that comes up, Chaz, it's funny, you and I think so much alike. First word I have written on my notes here for when we talk to Melissa is liability. That's the thing I keep hearing from everybody. Liability. And that's a big deal because it could be the destruction of a school district. It could be. I mean, that's at the worst. Or on the other end, the destruction of some kid's health. And that they're tough ways to go.
It's a fragile balance, John.
Absolutely.
You know, the other caveat that came out yesterday, speaking of liability, that Dr. Lombardi spoke about with the media, is that the oversight committee in our legislature for the PIAA, during their conversation, when Dr. Lombardi went to the Capitol, they summoned him to the Capitol, and he went with the statistics from UPMC and all that stuff. He said they spoke about finding a liability insurance policy that the oversight committee was going to look into that could possibly cover the PIAA and the school districts. However, he followed it up with, yes, we're looking into it, but it may end up being cost prohibitive. It may end up coming at too great a cost to cover all of this. But they are trying to stay ahead of it in that direction, which kind of struck me because nobody's talked about that. That wasn't anything that anybody really knew. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things backing all of this up. But, you know, when you're sitting in the barrel, as you say, you know, there's so many directions with which to go, or which could. I mean, let's be realistic about this. You know, we see it with a local sports program or local football program right now, another local sports program at North Schuylkill, who have had positive tests, as reported in the local outlets. And you look at the way with which they're being handled. You know, the Department of Health is involved in all of this because that's your mandate is to report this. They provide some direction. They track it. They can stay in contact with you. And, you know, Dr. Lombardi's argument has been about, do we really want kids to, if we don't have it at the school, where one, we know the processes are in place in order to manage your way through this. Do you want the kids shut down from a place where they believe things will be done safely and handled correctly? Now, it's on the hands of coaches at that point and administrators in school districts to handle these things correctly and to do the right thing through the whole process. Or do you want the kids going and playing travel sports? You know, kids in the northern part of the state, where are they going to go? Somewhere in New York. You know, Do you want kids in those type of atmospheres like we saw all summer long, where there is no oversight, there is no screening or testing, or, you know, not testing per se, because I don't know that anybody has been doing that at the high school level. But do you trust that in those situations that things are going to be as coordinated as it is if there's some oversight by the schools?
Sure, and that's been the hue and cry from a lot of people I've talked to, because there have been so many summer leagues that played this year, and there was no major outbreak. Now, again, you know, as they talk, is it different outdoors from indoors and ventilations? And I don't know. But usually there is some distancing, especially in baseball and some of the other things. But that's part of their argument. My goodness, they ran all summer. There were hundreds of people at games, and there wasn't an outbreak. My other concern, and this goes right back to what you were talking about before, is let's say you do have that football player who tests positive. And now you're saying, okay, we have to quarantine the football team for 14 days. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the team has to quarantine. Now, let's say that goes into the first week of school. Now, obviously, they're going to be around other kids outside of football. Would that then shut the school down?
No.
For that same week? And no. The question would be, from somebody who is concerned, why not?
The Department of Health, okay, in part of their guidance and working through this and learning, what I picked up was, even if a regular student finds a positive result, okay, being that masks are mandatory and everybody has a mask on, that kid would need to quarantine. But I don't think the rest of the students or those in classrooms do too, because they have masks on.
So, wow.
That was the
Department
of Health.
You would have to make sure they had masks and socially distanced.
So listening to the Department of Health guidance through all of this, you kind of wonder, you know, is it really bad? Are they covertly trying to get herd immunity? I don't know. But it's just going through the process and seeing it from the inside, you know, I don't understand it all. And you know, the data has been all over the map, and, you know, I don't know. Inevitably, John, and everybody needs to understand this, inevitably, I don't know that there will be a full season for anybody, mm-hmm. as far as football is concerned. Now, the other sports involved may go off without a hitch because you can distance a little more. Maybe soccer may have this same problem. I don't foresee getting through an entire season and going unaffected. Either way, either by your control, from your program, or at the result of somebody else's program.
And we've talked, you and I have talked about this often as we prepare for the upcoming, especially football season, that it is complicated. I agree with you, because unfortunately, and I've said this before, and I don't want to get anybody mad at me again, but you're going to have some programs that are going to do this perfectly, Chaz, mm-hmm. perfectly. And you're going to have some wink and a nod programs. We're not going to get into the full thing about that, but you're going to be, this is overblown. Come on, this is football. You take a chance getting a concussion. You can take a chance getting COVID. We're not going to be asking all these questions every day. We'll just tell them we did, and so on. That worries me more, and that's where local school districts and administrators, boards and administrators, are really going to have to knuckle down and say, look, this is what it is, or you don't coach. We're not going to have you around our kids spewing that stuff if you're not going to follow the rules. This is it. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. You must do this every day in every instance. And I don't know. They talk about kids not being able to behave themselves all the time. We have a lot of adults that sometimes think the sport or the win are more important, and they cut corners.
Can I? I'm going to tell you my thoughts, and which may rankle some feathers here, John. The onus to make the decision, okay, is on school board, school district administrations right now, okay? The onus to ensure that things are safe, okay? I hear what you're saying about coaches in the wink and the nod. The biggest stake holder in all of this, and the people that need to exercise common sense, are going to be parents and the athletes themselves. More so, to me, on parents. You know, Labor Day's coming up. You want to see Johnny or Jill play their sport, return to school full-time? Don't sneak away to the beach at an end-of-summer vacation because you can get away. Because now is not the time. The onus is on the family right now to protect your unit, to protect your community, to protect your school, your athletics, your whatever. And if you're going to make conscious decisions to go places where this can be transmitted very easily, let's not joke about data. Let's not say, oh, you know, it's you know, this is false. The one thing that is absolute is this thing spreads pretty easy and creates some kind of problem. Not known to the extent of it now. But the onus is on families. If you want your kids to have an education in person, if you want your kids to play sports, stay the hell at home.
Absolutely. You bring up such a great point, because I've heard parents say to me, well, you know, JP, these kids have sacrificed. They've worked so hard in their athletic career. They deserve a chance to play. And I hope they were listening, because what you just said is extremely important. Then you've got to sacrifice and don't go down to the beach or don't go somewhere else around big crowds when you're telling your kid to be very careful and so on. Then you've got to make that sacrifice for your family and your child also, because your visit, if your kid tests, could affect the entire football team, the entire school population. So moms and dads.
Your entire town.
Yep, moms and dads. It's time for you to sacrifice also, if you really believe in that.
Correct. And, you know, about the people, like Eddie brought up, that people were putting on Facebook, if they're not allowed in, they're renting lifts and cherry-picking trucks and all this stuff. Listen, if you're not allowed in, understand it's for the safety of your community. Okay? If you truly want your kids to participate in these things, then understand you not being there to witness it in person is all a part of keeping things safe for everybody. It's not about, oh, we just don't want to let you in. I mean, think about it. A 250 cap, which the PIAA said they're working with the legislature to possibly do 25% capacity in venues. All of these things, okay, they're trying to work that out. But if you can't get in there, understand that it's so your kids can do what you want them to do. Schools in this area have said they're all working or trying to find a way. I mean, we, with T102, mm-hmm. Skook News has partnered with us to provide a video to our audio and live stream it on Skook News during the T102 game of the week. Most school districts are trying to find a way right now to get some kind of link on websites where you can watch these games. It may not be in person. And you're going to be upset about that. And anybody making the decision or having the opportunity to allow kids to move forward are in a position where, how do you cut people out of that 250 cap right now that's what it is? How do you make those decisions? You know, if you have 106 football players between each school, that's 212 tickets if you give each kid two tickets. Okay, that's 212 fans plus the 106 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're already over. Now, your band is allowed to be there. Your cheerleaders are allowed to be there. You're already over. So how do you pick and choose who's getting in and who's not? And don't get upset if some schools put in some kind of seniors-only idea. And I don't know, because I haven't talked to anybody. But don't get upset about it, because this is the situation we're in right now.
Absolutely. And it goes so far beyond. You mentioned community. You mentioned all these other things. Chaz, this is not isolated to... And the biggie, of course, is football, which I understand. It's not isolated to football. I saw one state was talking, I think it was Ohio, about letting them play, and they were going to give two tickets for parents. You ready for this next one? And two tickets for people who are close to the student. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you like to be the person who made the decision as to who is close to the student? Does that mean grandparents? Does that mean the guy who's in the alumni club who gives money? It's either all in or all out, as far as I'm concerned, because I wouldn't want to be the ticket taker either, just thinking about being at the gate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so all these things come into play, and all these things go into decision-making, and all these things you don't have an answer to, and yes, people are going to be upset. That's understandable, but understand the box with which people are put into in making the decisions to move forward. Think about the box and the responsibility of your kids' coaches, okay, who are in a situation now where they have to figure out exactly what they're going to do when this happens. You know, it's astronomical what's at stake. And I don't think that's lost on anyone. But emotions need to be in check right now, and let's see what happens. I can't speak for any school district in our area and what their plan is. Outside of Tri-Valley, who voted to delay until October. Okay, I don't know what everybody else is thinking. There's not a concrete schedule yet. Hopefully, by the middle of the week, if schools are moving forward, they'll have a schedule prepared. But everybody needs to sit back and figure out how they're going to deal with this the best they can. Put your best face forward, and if it happens, let it go. People are trying to do the best they can to keep everybody safe.
I gave a shout out to Dr. Lombardi last week. I've listened to him. Chaz, everything he talks about, every statement starts with the health and safety of our student athletes and those around them. That is the bottom line that cannot change. Save your anger for when your kid doesn't start. You know, bottle it up until they're back playing, and then go out and get in a hissy fit because your kid isn't starting. Save it up till, save your venom to then. Until then, let's keep our kids safe.
Well, John, we're going to dial up Melissa Mertz, the Associate Executive Director of the PIAA. We'll get her thoughts on what's coming up here on the show. It's around the corner on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com. And don't forget the podcast. If somebody missed the show and you think they need to listen, you can find it at anchor.fm, also Apple, Google, and Spotify.
WPPA's Polka Time, Sundays 1 till 3 p.m. Hi, Paul Kongas inviting you to tune in to the widest variety of the newest and best polkas here on WPPA. We'll be coming your way right up to the start of Phillies baseball. So set your dial to 1360 WPPA, 106 FM, or on the web, WPPARadio.com. Let's make it a date.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping serving you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Summer is here, and the folks at Gearst Area are proud to introduce the newest member of their iced tea family, Raspberry Tea. The Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along Tumblin Run Road. Gearst Area Raspberry Iced Tea and Diet Decaf Raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow. Perfectly refreshing. Summer's for sipping. On the porch or a day trip to the beach with the full line of Gears Iced Teas, including their newest flavor raspberry in half gallons and plastic pints. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Don't forget, Phil's Baseball comes your way 6:35 tonight. Airtime 7:10 first pitch. The Phils in Atlanta to face the Braves. Last night was a forgettable evening for the Phillies. Hopefully they can get things back on the right track. But, whoa, baby, that train's almost derailed. Joining us on the program this morning, JP, Melissa Mertz, the Associate Executive Director of the PIAA. And, Melissa, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, JP. Good morning, Chaz. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you on. I know you've had a very uneventful last couple of weeks, so today's your opportunity to kind of let loose, but I can't thank you enough for coming on. I kid all the time about if you want information, you gotta reach in the barrel with people who are actually in the barrel. So thank you for putting yourself out there this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, Melissa, as JP said, you know, it's been an eventful couple of weeks here at the PIAA. There's been a lot of discussion, a lot of information that came out a couple weeks ago that really nobody was prepared for, including you guys, to understand how sports was going to happen. What has it been like in the position of decision makers on how to proceed over the last couple weeks?
Well, you know, we've taken a lot of different resources into account. You know, we've worked hand-in-hand with our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee, our sports-specific steering committees, the National Federation, and then, of course, members of the governor's staff over the last couple weeks and actually even a couple months. We've developed a, you know, 26-page document, a return to competition guidelines that we provided to all of our schools. And we were set to go, felt like we had the green light, and then, as you know, 2 weeks ago, the governor at a press conference answered a question and mentioned that his recommendation was no sports until January 1st. So that caused us to tap the brakes and just put everything on hold for 2 weeks, go back and revisit with members of his staff, met again with our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee, and we also met on Tuesday with members of the General Assembly that are part of the Pennsylvania Oversight Committee. So it certainly has been a busy couple of 2 weeks, but we do feel very confident based on the board's vote yesterday that Monday's good to go and, you know, we'll start fall sports.
Well, we talked earlier in the show, Melissa, about the fact that there is no precedent for this. You couldn't pick up a brochure and say, you know what, Dr. Lombardi, we have this covered. We came up with this plan years ago just in case. This is, in a sense, novel for everybody. But we talked also about this. Trying to get all those people pulling in the same direction is tough because there are passionate people on both sides. And that had to make even the meeting yesterday that much more difficult because I saw it was 25-5. There were still some people. Could you give us an idea of, we know what the 25 think, but what was the reasoning with some of the five who were not in favor of this?
Sure. The five individuals that had voted against it were one of our District 7 reps, a District 8 rep, which is Pittsburgh City Schools, and then we had members of the Pennsylvania School Boards Superintendents Association and also the Principals Association. And they had concerns from a standpoint, the educational-based associations had concerns from standpoints of just, you know, making sure you're getting the kids back in school, and that's our, obviously, everybody's main focus. And just some concerns with, you know, what would the liability be for if we have cases pop up, if, you know, what's the liability for schools in terms of, you know, if they do have some of those cases and people want to make claims against them, but, you know, that they might have picked it up at the soccer field or the field hockey field or football practice or whatever it may be. So those were some of the concerns raised. And, you know, again, you know, after reiterating, meeting with the governor's staff and him reiterating, the individuals reiterating that, you know, it's not a mandate, it's not an order. The governor doesn't look to make it as such. It's just a recommendation. And then following up with the data we've received from some random sampling around the state on student athletes that have been participating, along with meeting with our sports medicine advisory committee, we felt very comfortable, as you see with those 25 votes, you know, with moving forward. We did have two board members that weren't present. So normally we have 32 that vote, but yesterday was just 30.
Melissa, you know, you talk about that liability, and I think that's been the hot potato approach seen by some, where nobody wants the liability. With the vote yesterday, where does liability fall in all of this? Does it fall on the PIAA for saying, yeah, go ahead? Does the liability now fall on the school districts because the PIAA said, sure, you can go ahead, but it's a local decision? Where does that liability really flush out?
Well, yeah, we talked about a couple of things with that during our meeting, and as you said, we reiterated it. It's a local school decision. So, you know, schools need to evaluate what's best for them moving forward, what's best for their community, their school population, their athletic programs, et cetera. We're leaving it up to every individual school. That being said, you know, PIAA is also pursuing some other possibilities with the insurance coverage that we have. PIAA provides catastrophic insurance to all of its member schools. The current policy, though, does have exempt in there any type of communicable disease. So we will continue to have some discussions on that and you know, pursue that further. But right now, really, that just rests with the schools. And we have asked the members of the General Assembly to provide some sovereign immunity to schools that are going to go down this path and offer athletics so that hopefully they, you know, cannot be dragged into lawsuits because they're offering extracurricular activities to kids. So, again, those are things we'll still continue to have more discussion on. You know, we're going to try to pursue some more things. But, you know, right now it's a local school decision, and, yeah, they're going to have to make, you know, it's the best decision for them.
Well, Melissa, I was glad you brought up the idea of what's covered in liability insurance. I have good friends in businesses that when they had to shut, then went to their insurance companies, and the insurance company said, listen, somebody breaks in or you have a fire, flood, you're covered. It does not cover something like this. So this whole thing may change the whole insurance business also, in case it would raise its ugly head again. And again, you had nothing to go on from precedent. So I really, really give you guys a shout out. This is a very, very difficult situation, and it's like being an umpire. You're going to get yelled at by one side and cheered by the other. But thank you for being out there and making those decisions.
Well, thank you. And you know, I think there's a couple extra points to make. You brought up some very valid, you know, points yourself that, you know, some of the things we talked about is, you know, it has to be negligence proven on behalf to, you know, be able to sue a school district. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be that, you know, we contend that it's still almost difficult to prove that, you know, did the kid, if you had a student that has a case or get test positive, how do you know for sure that they got it at football practice? How do you know they didn't get it at chemistry class or when they were in sheets on Thursday or, you know, when they went to vacation 5 days before? So, you know, really tracing it back specifically to athletics right now, we don't feel is easy to prove or, you know, puts us specifically in the crosshairs, because there's any number of ways right now that, you know, that we can contract it. The good thing is this, that data I talked about, the sampling, there were two random samples done, over 30,000 student athletes, sport-specific Pennsylvania data. And they showed that when it came down to it, it was over 20 of them of these 30,000 that actually failed the pre-screening because they had an elevated temperature. Of those, only four students tested positive. Four athletes tested positive out of a 30,000 random sample. So that says to us, you know, it, the numbers that we look at on Department of Health, the cases are low with this age group. There have been no catastrophic incidences with this age group due to COVID. So, you know, that, and then weighing out the fact that these kids need socialization. They need to not feel isolated. They need to do things that are make them physically active and, you know, have them around their friends. And the mental and emotional well-being of extracurricular activities is something that we weighed heavily when we looked at all the numbers.
Yeah, and I love it, Melissa. I was a teacher for years. I was a coach, and I go back to the statement that you said, which was the curveball that put this into play when the governor mentioned that it was a recommendation. And I go back to my coaching days. I was coaching a girls' basketball team, and they asked the inevitable question. I was the new coach on the block, and they said, "Coach, what are the rules about our behavior in and outside school?" And my line was, "I'm simply going to recommend that you don't do anything that would put me in a tough spot and have to kick you off the team." Now, was that a rule? I would say no, it was a recommendation, but I have to tell you, they understood that it was more than a recommendation when it came to me. And that really did put you guys on the spot as to, wow, recommend as instead of saying, look, you're all in or you're all out, and the onus fell on your lap.
Right. Yeah, it was tough. And, you know, being respectful to the governor's office, we completely understand he has a lot of decisions to make, big decisions, and we're one of those. And you know, it that's what caused us to tap the brakes and just put everything on pause and say, okay, let's just make sure we've got everything figured out. Let's have some more communication with members of his staff, and let's confirm that this, in fact, is simply a recommendation and it is not a mandate or an order, because we don't, you know, we don't like putting our schools in a position where, you know, their parents are screaming and, you know, kicking that, hey, we should have sports, and the schools are like, well, wait a minute, we have a governor's recommendation followed by Department of Ed and Department of Health. Mm-hmm. So it did. It put us in a compromising position. But after we had another round of dialogue with his staff, and they reiterated it is his opinion, it is simply his recommendation, he does not look to make it a mandate or an order, that helped us, and we felt more comfortable that, you know, we've got enough support from members of the General Assembly, we got enough support from just parents and coaches and, you know, students from around the state that we need to give this a shot. You know, and our thinking all along has been this, you know, everybody wants to what if everything. Well, what if there's an outbreak? What if there's four cases? What if we don't get all the season in? What if, you know, but as Dr. Lombardi has said over and over again, what if we don't try? You know, I think that's the biggest what if. What if we don't give these kids an opportunity to try? And you guys know, you see it. It's been happening all summer. There's baseball tournaments, softball tournaments, soccer, field hockey, AAU. They're playing. And, you know, we just want to give them a chance to play at the high school level. We feel that our schools do a good job with oversight. They've been doing it since mid-June. They've adopted health and safety plans. Let's give it a shot. Let's give the kids a chance.
Right. When you take a look, you know, when you put it in that perspective, we had talked about this earlier as well, there's more oversight there than the kids that are participating in the travel sports and the AAUs. The schools are on the hook. So, you know, what's at stake is greater. And I think that all makes sense. But when you take
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. When you take a look at the other side of the coin, I know attendance has been a hot button. The 7,000 emails you guys got a couple weeks ago based on attendance and whatnot, you know, that's a hot button issue. But that is not in control of anybody, because that is a mandate.
Yeah, that's something we got to continue to work on. And one of our biggest concerns right now is actually girls volleyball, the indoor limitation of 25. Just because we're a little concerned with when you get two teams and the coaching staff and the officials and then some administrators there, we're going to be at 25 in a hurry. So we're going to continue to work on that. So the good thing is this, we have a little bit of time. I know it's not a lot, but we have a little bit of time before the first contest can actually take place. So we're into September by then. So we're hoping that we can have some more dialogue with the governor's office on that. And our contention is this. Two things. One, we really need to be able to at least provide the parents to be there, just from a liability standpoint. We can't have kids that are minors out there playing interscholastic athletics, and if there's an injury or something, not have a parent available or on site. Two would be, you know, if the governor's already put out the recommendations or the guidelines of 25 indoor and 250 outdoor, if you have a soccer contest and we're only at 100 of team members and officials and coaches and so forth, then let us have the other 150 for spectators. You know, let us fill that to 250. And everybody, we have guidelines that say exactly, you know, how things need to occur from the contest itself to spectators, to coaches, to officials. We've got that put forward. We've got it in front of our schools. Just let us give that a shot, and let us at least, at the minimum, have parents there, guardians there, to see their kids play.
You know, I found it interesting. Social media had a clip of an athletic director at, I believe, a football game in another state from this week. And he took it upon himself to grab a microphone, stop the contest until fans put their masks on and socially distanced, and told them this would not continue until these rules are followed. And it happened in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? We have complete faith in our schools. We know that they've been doing it because we haven't seen mass outbreaks associated to sports this summer, specifically sports in Pennsylvania this summer. So that being said, we do feel that, you know, it is happening. And, you know, the mantra that we've been putting out there is to student athletes is, you know, protect yourself, protect your team, and protect your season. You know, take the right steps, make sure you're doing all the right things so that we can ensure we can have a season this fall.
Right. Melissa, there's always, and this has always been part of a controversial role with me personally, but I want to ask you a question because there are areas where they've shut down, let's say, football. They're not going to play any football. One of the bugaboos that comes up all the time as far as athletes is, because of this COVID thing, would an athlete from that school, a football player, be able to transfer to a school where they are playing football? Would that be legal now for athletic purposes, because COVID's everywhere? Would that be legal for them to go, and would they be able to play automatically? Because that's going to come up. There's going to be some parents in school districts that are going to say, my kid can't play football here. He's going to another school district, and I'll tell you now, he's going to play, or I'm taking him to court. Have you given that any thought if that arises?
Yeah, we have. And the answer is no. There's no automatic eligibility for a student that decides to transfer because his school is not sponsoring football because of COVID. We do have provisions within our transfer rule that do allow for presumptive eligibility, but that is not one of them. And we have had that discussion. And our concern is we can't have a mass exodus, and we're not going to modify the transfer rule. But in addition to that, I would tell you that the second motion that was approved yesterday, if you had a chance to read through that, was that we will monitor the number of schools that can't participate this fall because their school districts have made that decision. And we will possibly pursue looking at giving them a season, you know, sometime after January 1st.
Okay.
But that all remains to be seen. We'll look at the numbers. But, you know, we don't want to say to those kids, you know, that have already, their schools have shut down, that there's no hope for you. But we have to look at the numbers, though. We have to see what the numbers are before we can make that determination.
You know, through this process, and I think I'm picking up what you guys were putting out there. There's an approach to get some athletic competitions in. If it ends at the league level, if it ends at the district level, the PIAA isn't all too concerned that we get to the PIAA playoffs and state championships this year. It's just to get the kids the opportunity to participate. That's the sense I feel. I don't know if I'm reading it correctly, but maybe you can explain that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's dead on. We would certainly want to try to have playoffs if we can, but our main focus is getting these kids a regular season, getting these kids the opportunity to play. That's our main focus right now. You know, we want them to, because, you know, with the regular season, other than the school districts that have made their determination, you know, everybody can have an opportunity to get, you know, half a season in, three quarters of a season. Some of them might get close to a full season, depending on how many games a week they got. But you're dead on. We'll take a look at playoffs once we have a better idea, once we're into this a little bit. But right now, our focus is the regular season.
And I'm so glad to hear that, Melissa, because Chaz and I got caught in this last year because we broadcast a lot of the local teams. And we had four basketball teams in the local area that were still involved in the state playoffs. And what you just said is so significant, because you could look at it as they lost their chance for a state championship. But as you just said, they got to play an entire season extended into 25, 26, 27 games. So they had that great opportunity to participate in their sport. And it can't be looked at losing a game or two as opposed to getting to play 25. So I was glad to hear you say that at this point, that is first on the table. Yes. Get them some games.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we're about right now. That's what we're focused on. Especially, you know, we may have to look at limiting travel across the state. So that's why, you know, the state championships might have to be put on ice for this year, and let travel more local within the league, you know, one or two counties over. I think that'll help us.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because a lot of leagues, the Heartland Conference is close to District 11 and close to our school districts. The school district that I'm a part of lost some scrimmages and some contests because District 4's Heartland Conference decided they're only playing conference-only schedules. Is that something you guys are recommending to look at? Try and keep it local. Don't travel. I know that was how the governor kind of followed up his conversation was, we don't want people traveling across county lines at this point. But is that something that you guys would say that's kind of where we want you guys to look if you're planning this out now?
Yeah, we're trying to leave that up to, you know, the districts and local decision. It does help us, I think. I think it certainly helps us, you know, to try to preserve the season if we can limit the amount of travel and limit teams going in and out of state. So, yeah, it would probably be something that we'd be in favor of, but we're trying as much as we can to leave that up to district committees and local leagues and conferences.
And Melissa, while we're going to be leaving here soon, but I also wanted to give a shout out again, because I mentioned that Dr. Lombardi and the PIAA, one of the things that I appreciate the most, I had kids who played, taught, coached, is that every time there's a statement that comes from your organization, the initial statement starts with the health and safety of our student athletes. And that is the thing that inspires me the most when you guys speak, because I know you're speaking from the heart for our kids.
Yeah, there. I can't tell you how much, you know, to speak to Dr. Lombardi, the energy and the passion and the commitment he's made to, you know, try to get this season kicked off for kids. And you're absolutely right. We've probably met with our sports medicine advisory committee no short of seven times over the last couple of months, just to make sure we're on point and making sure that we're putting kids out there, you know, in a healthy environment. And again, that comes back to really looking at the data. And, you know, when you look at the data, the numbers are significantly low for COVID for this age group. So, you know, all that taken into consideration is, you know, it's been something that every meeting, you know, we discuss. It's paramount. We look at the physical evaluation forms, making sure the kids are, you know, healthy to get out there. So, I appreciate that. And, you know, it's something that is certainly near and dear to our heart, because even some of us at the office have kids playing. So we're living it and breathing it.
Right. Melissa, when you take a look at this, I have one last question for you. But what happens if a school has an outbreak on a sports team? It closes the school, places them on virtual learning, the whole nine yards. What happens at that point?
Well, two things. One, they follow their adopted health and safety plan, which all schools have had to adopt and follow the guidelines of the CDC and Department of Health. And if you look through that, it's dependent on, like, is there one case, is there five cases, is there, you know. The other thing is this, you know, it's important for us to reiterate, just because they're going online doesn't mean, from a bylaw standpoint, an eligibility standpoint of PIAA, that you can't have interscholastic athletics. Prior to COVID and prior to any of this, the actual Pennsylvania law and PIAA bylaws allow for cyber school kids, homeschool kids, cyber charter kids to be eligible for athletics. So there's nothing to say that since you've gone online that you couldn't possibly still have interscholastic athletics. You know, I think it's hard for people from a perception standpoint of, well, if we're not having kids in the building, how can we justify having them out on the athletic fields? I mean, we understand that. And again, that's why that's a local decision. Schools will have to make that determination on their own.
Well, Melissa, I couldn't let you go without a little bit of humor, but if something like this comes up again, I can tell you this. You could simply visit any coffee shop in Schuylkill County, and they would have told you how to do this. <They're>, just anyone in Schuylkill County, you could have gone in, talked to the talking heads, and been out of there. Would have been a lot easier for you.
I'm going to keep that in mind for next.
I don't know that it's necessarily limited to just Schuylkill County anyway.
No, we've heard plenty of opinions.
But Melissa, thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning. I hope if we don't get to see each other before we catch up at Nittany Lions Softball Park in the springtime again, as we had the opportunity to meet there once before, and hopefully we could catch up there again. So.
For sure. Thank you both.
Thank
really
you so
it.
Much.
Well, we're here to get it out. That's the whole thing. So there you go, John. Thanks, Melissa. There you have it, John. Melissa Mertz joining us this morning, and just everything that went into this.
Upfront and honest. You can't beat that.
Not at all. And thankful, you know, that it's there. So we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back, wrap up the program, and get on our way to the Saturday Morning Oldies Show here on AM 1360, 106 FM, around the world at WPPARadio.com. Don't forget about the podcast of the show if you missed part of it or all of it, or you know somebody that needs to hear it. Check out Anchor.fm, Apple, Google, Spotify, or most podcast retail outlets.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville, and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Well, John, I guess time flies when you're talking to great people.
She was wonderful and upfront, and she's in the barrel. And whether you agree or disagree, you mentioned this before, Chaz, I really believe they're doing what's best for the health and safety of our kids.
That's big words coming from you.
Yeah, because I've had knocked with the PIAA.
Yeah.
But in this instance, they have my full support.
Indeed. Well, don't forget, Phillies baseball coming your way. 6:35 tonight for the pregame show from Hotlanta. 7:10 first pitch. I hope the Phillies haven't gone out since they've been there, because that seems to be the den of iniquity for professional athletes.
My wife wants them to stop playing after the last couple games.
We'd like to thank our fine sponsors of the program, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street, the new location along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with convenient drive-up services, And they're always open online at caclfcu.org, the number one lending institution the past 6 years, because you won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. Also, Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road in Pottsville. Whole milk to skim milk, orange juice, and the fruit drinks and iced teas. None more refreshing or mellow than the new raspberry iced tea. Sip on, Schuylkill County. Also, BG's Value Market in Pine Grove, Minersville, Millersburg, and Jonestown. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville. Have a great weekend.